Today on episode number 449 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find right over there at schoolofpodcasting.com/449. Do you remember back in the day, crayons? You remember those? And you had like the 8-box. I think there was a 20-box. But then, man, if you were really good, maybe for Christmas you would get the 64-box of crayons. I think later they went to like 120. That's insane. But what you draw is up to you. Everybody used the same crayons, but it was up to you. And today we're going to talk about how podcasting is a lot like a big box of crayons, and your journey through podcasting may be completely different than mine. And we're talking with Brian from ProfitCast. You can find him at ProfitCast Universe. And we've got some great feedback on people on really there is no one size fits all for podcasting. We're all on the same journey. So hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so very, very much. I'm so happy to be in your ears right now. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. If you want to get involved with the conversation, I would love to hear from you. schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. If you're new to the show, look, I help you massage your message. I help you tackle the technology. I help you flatten the learning curve and get you on the path to pain-free podcasting. I help you open up the box of crayons and help you decide what you're going to draw, I guess is another way of saying that. And if you're new to the show, you know I kind of always like to start off with some news or stats, things like that. So what we're going to talk about here, this is the latest from Edison Research. Now, Tom Edison will be at the New Media Expo. I should probably mention that. I am the director of podcasting at the New Media Expo. You can find that at schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX. Use the coupon code SOP2015, schoolofpodcasting.com/NMX. And Tom will be doing a retrospect of all the stats. And they have the report is called the Share of Ear, where they interviewed 2,096 Americans age 13 and up. And in a 24-hour listening period during May of 2014, that Americans spent an average of 4 hours and 5 minutes consuming audio, and more than 52% of that time goes to broadcast radio in all of its various platforms. But the other sources of pre-programmed audio now control 26% of listening time, while listening to one's own music collection receives more than 20% of the time spent listening. So that time of listening to the radio is, I believe, coming down. And I think more and more people are like, you mean I don't have to listen to 37 car commercials in a row in the car anymore? I can listen to this other stuff where people are talking about things that I want to hear? Yeah, you can. It's right there in your phone. And that's where you and I come along to help shed the light on the power of podcasting. And in other news, I always talk about the Quick Start program at the end of the show. This is where if you're interested in starting a podcast, you have the idea, you have maybe the domain name, just send me an email with the subject line Quick Start. And Jonathan did this, and lo and behold, I don't know, maybe a week later, maybe a little longer than that, we end up with the Missional Man podcast that goes a little something like this.
Men, created by God, made in His image, designed to reflect His glory, built with a vision for a mission. Yet we've lost our way, forgotten our heritage, thrust into epic identity crisis. Who are we? What's our purpose? How do we find our calling? Will our lives matter? Will we leave a lasting legacy? How do we make sense of the mess of life? How do we put a daily fight into context with the big picture? How do we connect the dots? The Missional Man Podcast, hosted by Jonathan Chambers, Christ follower, husband, dad, leader, teacher, blogger, entrepreneur, and fellow adventurer, He wants to give you real help from real men facing real challenges from real life. Empowering men with truth, equipping men with tools, and encouraging men for the mission. The Missional Man Podcast, tools for the modern Christian man.
Welcome back to the Missional Man Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Chambers, and I'm excited about this interview you guys are going to hear today with my good friend and fellow lunatic, Dan Pratt.
All right, a fellow lunatic. Gotta love that. So, Jonathan, congratulations on launching your podcast. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today. A couple weeks ago, I talked about what if you don't know what you want to podcast about? You know you got something to say. I've got all this experience. I want to help change the world. I want to be heard. I want some R-E-S-P-E-C-T. But I'm not quite sure exactly where I want to go. And I said, you know, even if you don't know, there are things you can do. I said, when you go to school, you learn the general classes and then you pick your major. I said, when you're having a baby, if you don't know what the sex is, you go out and you buy a bunch of diapers and you buy some toys. And then later you paint everything blue and pink. There are some things you can do while you're trying to figure out what you're going to be podcasting about. And my buddy Craig from across the pond sent this in to kind of chime in on that. Take it away, Craig.
Hi, Dave. It's Craig here from InglesPodcast.com. Hey. I'm calling to comment on a previous episode you released a couple of episodes ago in which you spoke about the learning process of podcasting, what to do if you can't pick a podcast topic. And it really rang true with me because I identified with the idea of growth and advancement over time in podcasting. So this is for anyone listening who's thinking of launching their first podcast, but for whatever reason they're holding back. I started about 4 or 5 years ago just putting sound files on a web page for language learners. I'm an English teacher. And then gradually I started podcasting in iTunes and then launched a separate website and then invested in the album artwork, in hosting, etc. It was a very gradual process. And recently I've been podcasting with a co-host, which now has become the highlight of my month. I absolutely love getting together with a colleague and good friend and podcasting together. Yesterday, I gave a presentation at my school on podcasting's role in language learning. And it's just developed over time. I started at a very basic level, just putting sound files on the internet, and gradually got involved in the whole process of podcasting, the technical aspect, and the community, which is absolutely fantastic. And as Dave said in his previous episode, there aren't any mistakes. They're all learning opportunities. And I know it's a cliche, but as Thomas Edison said famously, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work. So if you're thinking of podcasting, just jump in, because I'm still on a journey and I'm loving every minute of it. I've got a lot to learn and I look up to the experts in the field, such as Dave and Ray and Daniel and Jim and these guys who have been doing it for years and who are teaching me so much. But it's a wonderful thing to do with your time. I think it's definitely a great advantage for your business. It's a fantastic hobby to get involved in. And it's definitely given me personally an outlet for expression. And it's given me access to a community of really, really nice people. So cheers, Dave. All the best. And thanks very much for everything you do.
Craig, thank you so much. I really do appreciate those insights. And we had another call in about John, take it away, buddy.
Hi, Dave Jackson.
Hey.
This is John Morgan with Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting. I wanted to let you know about a couple of podcasts I just listened to. I listened to How Sound, and that's the guys from NPR that kind of, I think, are trying to discourage us podcasters that are just independents. Their episode is called Barf Draft with an iPhone. And the gist of the podcast is that you can't just talk into a microphone and tell people what you think without scripting it out.
So I went over to that episode, John. Let me stop you here. And here's what they're talking about. Here's a clip from that show.
Immediately after I talked this out, I just hit stop, and then I went to my desk, and I just transcribed it word for word. And then that way you have a working document to work with. It's really rough, and I do it word for word. I don't try to edit on the first path or correct sentences. I just stay with the language that I have. And then from top to bottom, you've got a working document. And then you can go back in and edit it. But, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, well, this isn't scary. This is just, in a way, like a really, really terrible first draft. I think that there's an old reporter here, Ritu Chatterjee. She called it your barf draft.
Bradley swears by the idea of a recorded barf draft. He says there are several advantages. First, the language and sentence structure. What you record is how you actually talk. And since radio writing is supposed to sound like you're talking, you're off to a good start. Secondly, story structure. The structure of a spoken story, the way it just sort of spills out of us, this, then this, then this, you can organize your story that way. I mean, since radio stories are told out loud, it makes good sense to record a first draft to find the structure. And lastly, Bradley says recording a draft of your story helps to avoid the dreaded empty page.
Like, that is so terrible.
And so here is someone saying, here's how I podcast. And John, I get your point that they're kind of making it sound like this is the way to do it. And he swears by it. And he swears by it because it works for him. But if we go back to the box of crayons, some people may draw an outline of what they're going to color and then color inside the line. Some people may just draw from left to right. Some people might draw and color top to bottom. It's a box of crayons. In the end, does the people you're drawing the picture for appreciate the drawing, right? How you podcast is up to you. You might use your phone. You might use your earbuds. You might use it. We'll hear how Brian uses a Heil PR40 microphone. You don't have to have a Heil PR40 to podcast. That thing's $600 by the time you get the microphone in the arm. It's really up to you. And so I was thinking about this, and John went on to say how he listened to a podcast called Tactical Paradise. And he said, here's a guy that just talks into the microphone, and it's obvious that the host is just riffing off the top of his head. And he gave some really good insights into episode 93 about his insights into being a cop and how he thought he was going to be a hero. That's why he signed up, and he rarely walked away from a call feeling like a hero. So it's behind-the-scenes stories that you can't get anyplace else, insights delivered in an entertaining kind of way, and to me, that brings value. And so John was saying, look, this guy's not scripting it out, and it's fine. And here's the deal, John, it worked for you. There may be somebody out there that goes, when he keeps saying, I don't know, I should look it up, I mean, that may turn some people off. You're never going to impact everyone. That's just the way it is. That's why there are four different channels in the States for news, if you count just the major networks, because not everybody likes Brian Williams because he's a big fat liar. And other people might want somebody else. And in the end, who cares, right? You're going to pick the one you like. So don't be discouraged because other people are saying, this is how I podcast. This is the only way you should podcast. By all means, no way. So I thought about this, and I get two things. One, people that start off and they want to podcast for free. And I was thinking about this because to me, I think if you can't spend the $22 a month to podcast, maybe you shouldn't. But then I remembered, I'm a musician. I played the guitar. And when I was in my teens, I was a helper on a paper route with my buddy. And I saved up and I bought this off brand guitar. I'll put a picture of it. It's horrible. It literally, I think, was just pieces parted together by somebody because the bottom of the guitar is one color, kind of wood color, and the neck is mahogany. Yeah, it's kind of two-toned. And it didn't sound very good. It also didn't cost very much. But it allowed me to work on my chops for the guitar. It allowed me to figure out, is this something I really wanted to do? And so I thought about this, and I thought, maybe for those people that aren't sure if podcasting is for them, maybe I should come up with a course for people who want a podcast on the really, 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 really cheap. So I bought the domain name podcastingforfree.com. And if you want, there is a fee for this. It sounds weird. You have to figure out, I will pay you how to podcast for free, but would you spend a little bit of money to save $264 a month? Now, you might say, Dave, where's your integrity? You've been saying this for a long, long time that, you know, go with Blueberry, go with Libsyn. And I'm here to say that some people, when I say $15 for Libsyn, they go, ah. And I go, really? Because if you just take the Mountain Dew fund, yeah. No, they're just not ready for that. So I figure out, here's what's going to happen with this. And right now, it's not available. It will be launching March 14th. And right now, it's just pre-orders to see if anybody's even interested in this. Because I didn't want to spend a lot of time on something if nobody was interested in this. So if you're interested in it, go over to podcastingforfree.com and you can pre-order this. And what it's going to show you is there are free media hosts. And again, this is not something I recommend typically, but there are those out there. There are free websites you can use. You could use earbuds. I'll show you how you can even record the podcast with an iPad or your iPhone. If you want to buy a cool microphone, you can. It's made primarily for a solo podcaster or a podcaster where the host is in a separate location. This would be great for somebody like schools or nonprofit, or again, the hobbyist, somebody who just wants to have fun. Now, let's be completely transparent here. When I bought that knockoff guitar, it didn't play as nice as the real Gibson SG. It didn't sound as good as the Gibson SG, and it just wasn't the real thing. So are you going to get stats with your free hosting service? Kinda, but nowhere near the stats you get from Blueberry or Libsyn. Is your website going to be okay? Sure, but it's not going to be half as flexible as a website where you pay $8 a month for it. But you're saying, no, I just want to try this. I'm just a hobby person. I just want to kick the tires on it. Then by all means, go out to podcastingforfree.com, because here's my thought on this. If you're like, Dave, why are you doing this? Number one, I'm testing this. Number two, there are going to be those people like me that when I got my own guitar finally and I played that thing from morning, noon, and night, when I wasn't delivering papers or eating, I was playing the guitar. I had the bug. Then what did I do? Well, I got my own paper route. I saved up an entire month's worth of income, which is about $300, and I bought an actual Gibson SG. And if you're like, what is that? If you know AC/DC, the band, that kind of maroonish guitar that guy plays when he's not rolling around all over the floor, that's a Gibson SG. My favorite thing is the day I bought it, I came home and it was like the first or second day of MTV, and there was Pete Townsend of The Who smashing the guitar that I just worked a month to buy. But by having that knockoff guitar, I realized, no, I am going to do this. And now I want to do it right. And I got rid of the crappy $5 amplifier that I think I got off the curb from somebody. And I went and bought a real amplifier. And I got rid of the crappy guitar and I bought a real one because I was ready to take it seriously. So podcastingforfree.com, if you're interested in this, it will definitely allow you to podcasting very, very, very inexpensively. And then later, if you want to move, I'm having the system designed that you can actually move to a more serious level. So if you're interested in that, check it out. And that's something I'm playing with. Now, again, as we talk about launching your podcast and figuring out how you're going to do it, there is no one size fits all. And I had a conversation here that we're going to listen to with Brian from ProfitCast Universe. Some really golden nuggets here in terms of A, the fact that Brian was like, hey, you know what? I'm not really an expert in this, but I want to know more about this. And I call this the Journey Podcast. And as he goes through, you'll hear him say, and now people are starting to see me as an expert. And he takes his experience from his life. And again, this is where I say your podcast is going to be unique to you. And he takes that experience and he's using it with his podcast. He's networking with other podcasters in the niche. And I love his attitude. I love his realness. He talks about how people tried to kind of beat him down and just say you could quit doing your podcast and how he handled some of that negative feedback. And without further ado, here's my interview with Brian from ProfitCast over at ProfitCastUniverse.com. All right. Well, joining me, we just got finished doing, he joined me as a co-host for Ask the Podcast Coach. And I brought him on because I love this guy's energy. I love the fact that he's having fun. He'll be the first to admit that sometimes he has no idea what he's doing, but he thinks this is the right direction. And so I'm just going to go and see what happens. And I love that attitude. And when things work, he'll be the first to tell you, here's what worked. And if it didn't work, he'll say, here's why it didn't work. And so Brian Kane, buddy from the ProfitCast, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks, Dave, for having me, man. I really appreciate it. And that's funny. I was laughing because, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. And that's the beauty of it. But you know, what I'm trying to do is figure it out. I'm trying to find the answers. And, you know, I call myself the guinea pig, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know Pat Flynn talks about being the crash test dummy for his side of things. And I thought, oh, that's a good one, too. So, you know, call me what you like. I'm here to learn. I'm here to get beaten up along the way. School of Hard Knocks. And then, you know, figure it out and share it.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I thought we could start off with the easy stuff is your show sounds amazing. It just, when it comes on, you got the big music. And so let's talk a little gear. What toys are you playing with over there?
Ooh, man. Well, where do I start? Okay, well, first of all, I use the Heil PR40 mic, and I've got the pop filter that goes with that as well. I'll tell you what, pop filter changed my life. I didn't have a pop filter when I first started using this mic, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
So, using the Mackie 1202 mixer, which I've had a lot of this equipment for quite a while, actually, because when I did my online radio station, we bought all of this equipment for that, which is kind of ironic because it's the exact same equipment that's recommended in the podcast circles, and I wasn't even in that circle at the time. So, yeah, I've got that. I do need, this is something that I'm going to demonstrate this. You ready? Listen to this. Did you hear that fantastic sound?
Yes.
That's where having a better arm, mic arm, and a shock mount, I believe, is going to come in a little bit more handy because I like to make gestures and do things with my hands, and so I hit my microphone stand a few times, and that's a little annoying. And I'm using the Behringer 40 MDX4600 as the compressor limiter gate, and I love that thing. I use it for the four channels so that I can actually run Skype through it when I'm doing interviews and conversations as well. I use Max. I use the Soundbite as well for fun. And then I record into, right now I've got the Roland RO5 recorder that I record into, and then I just use Audacity to do all my editing, and then I've got a few filters that I run things through with Audacity. So that's the long short of it, man. Oh, headphones, sorry. So yeah, okay, here's what it is. It's the AKG K240s, and I love them. They sound great, but I think the thing I like about them the most is that they're extremely comfortable, and they're, what do they call them, the semi-open? So I can actually hear my own voice rather than just feel it. And I can actually hear what's going on in the room as well. So if I have other people in the studio with me, it's just a little easier for me.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't like the noise canceling for when I'm on the mic.
Are you kind of a live to hard drive kind of guy with the Soundbite, or are you adding things in post, or?
Oh, both. I prefer live, just because that's kind of how I did things when I was on radio, is, you know, you're using the cart machines and everything else. And so, yeah, I prefer live. It's easier. You know, when I do my intro music and outro, I'm all live. I do everything like that. I don't post any of that stuff.
When you started the podcast, like, what inspired you to start ProfitCast?
I've been behind the microphone since I was about, I don't know, teenager. Well, no, I've been even before that, actually. It was like probably about 10 or 11 or something like that. I got behind the mic thinking, man, I want to be a radio DJ because, you know, back then radio DJs were still pretty cool, and it was, you know, it was that thing to do. And I'm like, I want to do this. And I was a big fan of Wolfman Jack, even though he had passed right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was more recordings. I didn't have the opportunity to listen to him live, but loved his stuff. And so it was neat to be able to get into radio, but then moved into podcasting a few years ago just simply because of the, well, the fact that on demand really has taken over the live streaming kind of thing when it comes to radio. People don't want to wait for a song. They want to go listen to it right now. Or, you know, when they want to hear somebody talk. I used to hear this. We ran our online radio station. We'd have a 4-hour morning show. And so you'd be talking periodically in between 2 or 3 songs. And, you know, people would say, well, my drive is 15, 20 minutes. And I heard you talk twice and that was it. And so I missed the rest of your show. And so we said, we need to start a podcast. And eventually we ended up starting a podcast and people liked it better because it's like, give me music or give me talk. At least that's what we were hearing. And that's what some of the research showed. So that's how I got into podcasting. But then along the way, I started thinking, okay, great. Podcasting's fun, but the rules of podcasting are different than the rules of radio. Like I knew how to grow audience in radio and all that and make money with advertising eventually. With podcasting, yeah, you can apply some of those things, but there's so many other ways that we can monetize and grow our podcasts. But how? And I went around to different shows and I learned a few things and I realized that, you know, some of the other podcasters were talking about ways to grow your audience and, you know, interact with your audience and create better engagement and create loyalty and that kind of thing. And then some were talking about monetization methods. But part of it seemed like a little bit of a disconnect to me. And not because that the shows weren't good, it's just because I didn't understand how that related to me. And so it's like you heard a lot of the one size fits all stuff out there, but I'm like, well, but how does that work for me? You know, kind of thing. So that's when I decided I'm going to start a show about podcasting to find out what it takes to grow and monetize an audience, grow and monetize a podcast. That's a better way to put it. And then go out and interview people who have done it, find out what they've done and try things out and share what worked and what didn't and find really the best ways that can really apply to people. And also, you know, another thing too, my original listener in mind was the passion podcaster. I'd worked with a lot of TV show podcasters who were in that category of passion podcasters who loved what they did. They got behind the mic and they did their podcast because it was just such a joy for them. But even they were asking, well, if I don't have an audience, then everything I'm doing is a waste of time. There's nobody here kind of thing. So I need to figure out how to get my show out there and make sure that it's resonating with them. And
well, I just love the fact that when it came out, we've always talked about, you know, if you can get niche, right? If you can bring it down one other level. And so, you know, there are, I think there's a couple podcasts about podcasting. I've heard of these things. And so when you came on, I was like, oh, here's another podcast about podcasting. Oh, wait, no, it's not. And I went, this one is focused just on kind of monetization, but that goes hand in hand with, you know, audience growth because one leads to the other. And so that's where I was like, ooh, I like this. This is a new twist on an old subject, kind of in a way. And then, you know, obviously, you've got great pipes from your radio background. It's well produced. It's fun. To me, the fact that I can hear you, I can hear your smile, I'll put it that way.
And hey, that's good.
You know, and I went, okay, I like this guy. And then, you know, over we've our paths have crossed, and I was like, okay, cool. This is I'm a subscriber to ProfitCast. And if I haven't said it yet, doggone it, ProfitCastUniverse.com is where you can find Brian. Do you have a Twitter and all that other fun filled stuff?
Yeah, you know, I've got my personal Twitter, which is at I am the real Brian, and that's Brian with an I. I started a ProfitCast Twitter less than a month ago, maybe now. And it's just at ProfitCast. I'm still debating whether or not I want to use that as a separate one or not because it's just more work. But, you know, I know some people like the fact that there's a ProfitCast Twitter because it's specific. You know, right. I'm there for that. So I'm testing it out right now to see kind of, you know, if it resonates or not.
Well, and that kind of, that type of strategy is what I love about the show. You know, it's not like you're doing something that's completely like, why is he doing that? It's like, well, this is a pretty good strategy, but this one might work too. And so I always kind of tell people there are those podcasts where you are the expert, right? I've known this, I've done this for 20 years and I'm going to share my experience and I've got all that. So I'm like, okay, cool. This would be great. And then there are situations like yours where you have your experience allows you to make a great show and to make great sounding show. And you know how to create good content, but you didn't say, well, look, I'm making $8,000 a minute, you know, because of my podcast, I want to find out how. And so I always tell people there is the journey podcast. So where it's like, hey, I'm going to dive into this pool. I want to go find the answers. Why don't you come along with me? And so that's half the fun, is it is a little bit, not so much like Serial, like a complete story, but your podcast is the story. Like, here's what Brian found this week. And so one of the things I love about it is you've been, at times you do some interviews, but you also have solo shows. And I think it was episode 30 where you really just kind of pulled back the curtain way back and said, all right, here's what I've been hearing. Tell us a little bit about episode 30 and some of the feedback.
Yeah, you know, well, the feedback actually started right after Podcast Movement 2014. And I had gotten some interesting comments and feedback and advice from some podcast, I'm going to call them experts because they're successful. They've done, you know, and they're entrepreneurial experts as well. But let's put it this way. They've done it. They've made it happen for their business. But it was fascinating because at the time I said, well, here's kind of what I'm doing. I'm on this journey, exactly what I just shared and what you've shared too. And they said, well, that's ridiculous. You need to just shut down right now. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, if I want to learn how to grow and monetize a podcast, I'm going to go to, and at that person mentioned John Dumas, because John Dumas has done it. And I said, I know, he has arrived. I get it. He's done it. He's succeeded. Of course, you know, he's an expert. But I said, but what I'm doing is a little bit different than what he's doing, because, you know, it is, even though there's some similarities as far as some of the new teachings that he's coming up with. But they said, well, and as a result, you're pretty much screwed. Just forget it. Shut down your podcast. Give up now.
Wow.
And so that was a little bit of advice, pretty much saying, if you continue down this path, you're going to fail miserably and you're never going to make any money. Or if you make any money, you're going to make like $20 an episode and it's going to take you years. And literally that was the advice. And I kind of thought, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, constructive is good, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, so then what do I do? And I've had some different advice, you know, over the last few months too, because, you know, the part of my journey is discovering what is really the best way to not only deliver value, but grow a business. Because ProfitCast, I want it to become a business. I want it to become something where, you know, I can live off of it full time and that kind of thing. But more importantly, it has to deliver value, because if nobody's getting anything out of it, then, you know, I'm not going to try to sell anything, right? So it's been kind of in this whole thing. And I've gotten some basic advice about, well, why don't you just teach people how to start podcasting? And I said, well, you know, there's already a lot of people out there doing that, for one. And two, I don't really have a passion trying to teach people how to start to learn how to podcast. I've got a passion for podcasters who are already podcasting, who want to learn how to take their podcast, you know, and grow it and figure it out and interact better and become better at what they do so that they can eventually monetize. And many of them want to quit their day jobs and do this full time. And many of them just want to make some extra money on the side to help cover costs and have a good side income. But every podcaster that I've ever talked to and ever met wants to grow it. Like, that's the biggest pain I've discovered. How do I grow my audience? And at the time I thought, well, there's a huge disconnect between, you know, people who are really succeeding and then the rest of us. And yeah, it's like, there's like 97% of podcasts that aren't really going anywhere. They're trying, but they're not hitting it for some reason. And I thought, that's a really big percentage of frustration. So I wanted to bridge the gap somehow. But anyway, as I was trying to present this to some of these experts, they're like, you know, I don't know if that's going to work and all. I did get one piece of advice that was good, is take your passion and your experience or expertise or whatever. Make sure that that matches with what people are willing to buy when it comes to your business, which, yeah, absolutely fantastic advice there. So in episode 30, which was a couple of weeks ago now, I got to a point where I'm thinking, all right, you know, is this resonating or not? You know, because I'm trying these things. It seems like some things are working, some things aren't. But, you know, what do people really want? I think I was starting to get frustrated because I'm trying to figure out, again, here's the journey podcast, but I'm trying to build the business. How do they really work together? And, you know, it's still new enough that I'm still trying to figure a lot out. But I basically said, really, is this working for you, for the listener, you know? Are you resonating with this? Do you like this? You know, if I were to quit tomorrow, would you care? You know what I mean? Kind of thing. I just wanted to know. And so I got a little bit, as one of my listeners put it, it was a little bit of a downer. And it wasn't my intention, you know, to bring people down, but it was just more of that moment where I'm like, hey, I'm going to be realistic. I'm struggling with this right now. And I can guarantee that every podcaster out there has at least at one time, if not right now, struggled with the same thing I'm going through. So I'm going to bring it to light. I want you to know you're not alone, but here we go. And so, yeah, it was a little discouraging, but at the same time, it was really good because ironically, that episode brought the most response of any episode I've done yet.
Now, why do you think that is?
Probably ironically, because I think I got real with myself and like, just kind of, you know, like even though it was somewhat negative, people kind of latched on and said, oh, okay, hold on here. You know, we actually like what you're doing. Don't quit or blah, blah, blah. But actually every comment I got back was positive. Even if it said this was a downer of an episode, you know, the email would end with, but I love what you're doing. Do not give up. And so every single response I got was extremely positive and constructive and really helpful, really encouraging, actually.
Yeah, I was, I'm in my office building here and the garage is like two doors that way. And when I take a break, I walk around the garage. There's a lot of really cool old vintage cars in there. And I was listening to that episode as I was walking around and I liked it because I resonated with the fact, like you said, everybody's gone through that. Like, you know, you just want to tap your mic. Is anybody listening? Is this thing on? And, you know, so I was like, wow, okay, this is Brian, like, you know, keeping it real to use a phrase. Right. And, so I liked that episode. I didn't think it was a downer. I was like, wow, this is cool. This guy's transparent. He's honest. And, you know, and I think the other reason that you might've received more feedback, number one, that it was so real, so raw, and it sounds weird. You asked for feedback, but you know, you do that on most episodes when I think about that. Mm-hmm. But I think that was it. The fact that it was so kind of raw and real. And
I was just going to say another thing too, that I failed to mention that I might've drawn some people in, is that, you know, when I first started ProfitCast, I was even going back and listening to my first episode going like, okay, what did I say? I should probably know. And, you know, I was talking about going on that journey, like you're talking about, that I would interview people periodically to find out the answers. I realized somewhere along the way, right around the fall of 2014, you know, I was starting to be, people were treating me like an expert, and which I thought, okay, this is cool. Some ways I'm an expert and in some ways I'm still not. I'm still trying to figure some stuff out. And so I thought, well, maybe I should do some coaching on the ways that I am an expert, you know, for like we talked about the monetization thing. But I wanted to be very clear that there are some things that I'm not there yet. So you know, like don't treat me up on this pedestal like you think I am. I'm not there. And then trying to kind of go back to the original vision is, you know, identity crisis is a big problem with podcasts and podcasters. I've realized that. And I was starting to get into that problem of identity crisis with ProfitCast too. And I felt bad. And so that's another thing I brought up, is that, all right, identity, we've got to know our identity of ourselves. We are the driving force for our podcasts. And then we got to know our identity of our podcast, or else no one has any idea what they're listening to.
You know, looking back, how long do you think it took before you really started getting feedback?
I actually got feedback within the first few episodes. Not a lot, but I did, you know, actually it wasn't like I was broadcasting to crickets, which was pretty cool. But one thing I've noticed in the last, it was since episode 30 that I've seen an exceptional rise in feedback. And then when I did the crossover episode with Daniel J. Lewis talking about the monetization strategies that successful podcasters are using, he gets a lot of feedback. And so as a result, I started getting a lot of feedback too, because people came over to ProfitCast saying, hey, this is great. There's another show. And I just started listening. And so actually that was really cool. It was one of those, I didn't actually go into that crossover episode with that strategy in mind. Well, although now I'm realizing that's a great strategy.
Well, I was going to say, let's peel back the curtain on that. How did that happen? And for those who haven't heard, Daniel J. Lewis does the Audacity to Podcast. And so obviously, again, a very similar topic as this. So how did you guys determine, because you recorded one episode and then both played it on, you know, your each person's show.
Yeah. This started when he had interviewed John Lee Dumas, and I thought that was a great interview that he did. And it was funny because Daniel asked a few questions that most podcasters haven't asked him. Which I thought was great, because you do hear that kind of thing where it's like, you know, eventually people make the rounds and it's the same interview on everybody's show. And I appreciated that he did something different. And so I said, thanks, man. You know, there are a couple things that John brought up that I thought we could talk about. And I said, what do you think about doing like a co-hosted crossover show rather than just an interview? And he's like, oh, that'd be fun. No, you know, hardly anyone does that. That'd be fun. Let's try that. And so we set up this whole thing, our topic ended up being all about monetization strategies anyway, which still kind of tied into the original idea. But Yeah, so we recorded the conversation, and then we just did our own intros and outros. So the structure of the base of the show is pretty much the same thing. And so it was cool because I think one is nobody done it. Well, I take that back. Very few have done it. And two, it really, I'm not saying this to toot my horn by any means, but I'm just saying like this is what I've heard, and it seems to be proving true is that, you know, when I was on his show, I wasn't just seen as another podcaster. I was seen as an expert. As vice versa, when he was on my show, he was seen as an expert as well, because we're both, you know, teaching for the most part. We're sharing some of our advice and stuff. And so it was fascinating to be able to do that. And I think listeners really engaged with that. Plus, we gave them very, you know, like here it is. Even though it was an hour and a half episode, it was like, here are the monetization strategies that successful podcasters are using. Here's explanations. Here's how it can work. Here's, you know, the difficulties and the challenges of them. We really went into depth on it. And so it was a very, very content heavy episode, which I think people really are looking for too. But yeah, I mean, it's been incredible the amount of feedback that it's happened from that episode and on as well.
So what would you say to the person that's like, well, I probably shouldn't go on that person's show because, well, they're kind of my competition.
This is something, and I know that not everybody shares my vision on this one, but I know businesses can thrive by stepping on each other's heads and pushing the other one down. You know, I think in the long run, though, you're going to lose. So my personal theory is that term co-opetition. I don't know if you've heard that one, but you know, I did this when I was in another business. We all had our own individual businesses. We were all competing for the same market, but guess what? Because it's us, we all have different personalities. We all have a slightly different offering of our services. So, I mean, that's just kind of the same nature with podcasting. We all have our different personalities and take on things. And so by us actually forming a mastermind group in this other industry, helping each other out and referring each other when, you know, one of us was booked or whatever, we even got to the point where we would get in front of clients and say, you're not the right client for me, or I'm not the right person for you. Let me refer you to my other person, you know, my other guy here who's in competition. And word got around with the clients that we were actually, the competition was helping each other out. And the clients and other vendors and venues in the area started going, wow, like we don't see this kind of cooperation among competition, basically. This is really neat. And so it ended up boosting our business. And I think most of our business has tripled because of that working together. And so, you know, my theory on that is that regardless of whether or not we're talking about similar stuff or we're competing, if we can help each other out somehow and send each other business, and, you know, we're all going to get different clients. There's plenty of business to go around, right? I honestly think we could grow each other's businesses a lot faster doing it that way than just trying to be our own islands and, you know, protect our own secrets and fight each other and beat each other down. That's my theory. And so far it's proven to be true.
I'm going
to
say that I know it's worked for me. I mean, I've already mentioned Daniel. Daniel and myself are on Ray Ortega's show, which is called The Podcasters Roundtable. He also does Podcaster Studio. And I've had many people that have said, I heard you on that show, which led me to this, which then, you know, maybe they heard me on Daniel's show. They came over to my show. They heard me mention Ray. And so that's definitely something. And I always tell people, you know, there are, when you turn on the news at 6 o'clock or whatever time the news comes on, there are at least 3 or 4 channels.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because somebody's going to like Katie Kirk. Somebody's going to like this person or that person. And you may like me, you may not. Maybe you want more personal stories, so you go listen to my friend Cliff. Maybe you want, you know, super details, so you go listen to Dan, whatever. But it's like, there's a reason there's multiple channels, and you're not going to like everybody. And like you said, the thing I loved, you said when the people that went to hire you and you said, you know what, I'm not a good fit, but this person is, and they went, wow, we don't see this. And this is one of the things you've been preaching about lately is, you know, being yourself and standing out. And that was a great strategy to stand out. And then you still get the bonus because even though you didn't get the business, you got credit for helping them get to the right person.
Yeah. And you know what else happened with that once? Is I referred a client once to someone else because it was a better fit. And they were so impressed by that. I didn't know this till later that they actually told their friend who, you know, later needed my services to come and talk to me as opposed to the person they went with because they were so impressed by that. And I mean, I didn't expect that, but it was like, wow, that kind of came around, you know? So, And that, again, that's not the reason I did that. And that's not the reason we should be doing that either. But just keeping in mind that I think it, our businesses and our lives and the people around us will benefit greater when we're helping each other and working with each other instead of trying to compete all the time.
Right. And then that makes, you know, things like Numity Expo and Podcast Movement, that makes those very awkward.
Well, there's healthy competition. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah. I like healthy competition. That's fun stuff. But,
right.
You know, like when I play basketball, I love playing with, you know, we got a bunch of guys. They're all friends. And we all love each other, man. We're all hanging out. But when we're playing against each other, there's competition. Our team wants to win. And we, you know, we trash talk the other team and stuff. But at the end of the game, whoever wins, it's like, cool. Like, I won. It was great. But, you know, we're all still friends. And who cares? You know, we're still in this together versus let's beat the other person up to the point of them losing their business kind of thing. And I don't go that way. So,
yeah, it's a great move. And then, and like you said, from my background, I'm a musician. I know you're a musician, and I would go into a club, and if they didn't have a website, I would pimp them. Hey, I can make your website for you. It's really cheap and nice. I'll show you how to do it. And which was great was then, number one, I always had an in. I could get those people on the phone anytime because I'm your webmaster. And the other thing I found out through that is how, again, how the competition, they all talk to each other. So if you go and if you canceled a gig or somebody, you did one club wrong, your name was going to get trashed throughout the entire city because they all talk to each other. And it kind of works the same way, I think, with podcasting. We all do talk to each other. And so if you, you know, you start talking trash about, somebody, it's going to get around. And why not just be nice?
I know. And, you know, I think there's ways that you can use other podcasters as an example in a way that can still be respectful, even if you're trying to point out something. I know I've done that a few times and I've always gone back and said, okay, was I respectful enough? Because the intention is always to be respectful, but pointing, you know, things out as an example. And I don't know. Sometimes you kick yourself for it.
Like if you interviewed somebody today, what would be like some of the top answers? Like, yeah, okay, we already talked about that. Like, what are the commonalities that you've heard when it comes to monetizing your podcast?
So first of all, through interviews, through observation of a lot of podcasters, I see podcasters either starting a podcast or maybe they've been doing it for a little while, but they're kind of struggling, trying to figure out how to, you know, grow it or whatever. And so think about your podcast as a product here for just a second. They go from wherever they're at to, all right, I need to market it and monetize it right now. Without actually asking the question, is my product or podcast actually good? Is it something that listeners really want? Are they resonating with it? Do I sound good enough? Am I communicating clearly and well? Am I positive? Am I having fun? Am I boring? Am I negative? You know, stuff like that. Regardless, but you have to ask yourself, you know, are you being the best you? And so I think most podcasters, at least that I've seen, forget about their quote product, their podcast. And you know, what's the saying? Like if you market crap, you're going to get crap results. If you market average, you're going to get average results. And if you market excellence, you're going to get excellence results. And so, I've found myself realizing that a lot of podcasters have average podcasts. And it's not necessarily their fault per se, or it could be, I mean, it depends, but maybe they haven't learned how to really take their podcasts up and present better and that kind of thing. But podcasters, and I am so guilty of this because this was my journey for the first 5 months of ProfitCast, was I just need to make money and I want to grow my podcast. Well, I didn't ask myself, does anybody really even resonate with what I'm doing? Because if nobody resonates with what I'm doing, well, I'm not going to grow, you know? And so I guess my point is that, you know, you have to ask yourself, you have an average podcast. Is it worth marketing? Because you can basically expect average results. And so that was the thing that I discovered isn't being talked about. There's that in-between factor. There's the whole setting yourself apart with your podcast factor that's not really being talked about much. What is being talked about is, you know, here's how to start a podcast. And then, you know, there's a lot of technical stuff being talked about because that's very important. And then I realized that people jump over here to, you know, here's how to, you know, kind of work iTunes so that you can get high rankings. There's the new and noteworthy stuff. There's the, you know, the reviews and ratings things that's going on right now. You know, there's getting on Stitcher. There's all those marketing strategies, social media strategies. Then there's the monetization strategies about, you know, write an ebook, do some videos, try to get sponsorships, do Patreon, all that stuff. Then there's the other side of things, which is creating loyalty, which is still wonderful, is building relationships, getting to know your listeners. Yeah, I mean, one thing like Cliff talks about that's a little different than a lot of people is getting to know 50% of your listeners' names and personal facts and that kind of thing. And, you know, he's kind of the one that coined that whole thing. But, you know, most of the people talk about the relationships, build the relationships, and that's all true. And so everything I've heard is like, this is all true, but I'm starting to realize that I think the reason why people aren't taking their podcasts, like they're doing everything they're told, but they're not succeeding is because they're not looking at their podcast. They're not looking at their product. Is this good enough? Is this what people actually want? Have you actually sat down and looked at how you present yourself? Are you annoying or are you like really charming and, you know, whatever? So then the thing is nobody really wants to work on that, which is hilarious. Because when I bring that kind of stuff up, people are like, I'm good. I don't need that. And I'm like, but that's actually your problem. That's the one thing that you don't have down.
Yeah.
But they think they got it, man. Because I mean, think about it. We podcasters are prima donnas, man. I mean, we're performers. We're artists. We know it. We are so cocky sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm saying that about myself. I mean, I know I am sometimes, and I have to do a humility check a lot of times. Like, I really don't know it all.
Well, Brian, thanks so much, man, for coming on. And I wish you the best of luck with ProfitCast. I will definitely be listening. And tell everybody again where they can come and find you.
ProfitCastUniverse.com is the website, and everything's on there. But you can look for it in iTunes. My Twitter accounts right now, like I said, testing those out, at I am the real Brian, and the other one is at ProfitCast. And I love hearing from people too. So like, you want to send me a voicemail, a speak pipe, write in, please do. I mean, I thrive on interaction. Love it.
Super duper nice guy. Again, find Brian over at ProfitCastUniverse.com. Want to thank you for listening. That's going to do it for this episode. Couple things here. Remember, if you are ready to jump into the deep end of podcasting and you don't have a website yet, send me an email with the phrase quick start and I'll tell you more about that later. Don't want to waste your time here, but basically you get a free month of the School of Podcasting. I install WordPress for you and all the plugins, and all you have to do is buy your hosting through my link. So you're looking like $8 a month. It's awesome. If you already have a website and you're ready to shape your podcast so it has its maximum impact, then by all means, come over to schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER. Then it's LISTEN, listen, ER. So LISTENER, all lowercase, will save you on your first month. And again, I'm testing something here. If you're like, I might want to get into podcasting, check out my new course starting next month over at podcastingforfree.com. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting.com. And until then, take care. God bless. And I hope to see you on the inside. We're talking about the Journey podcast. And by that, I don't mean don't stop. No, that's a whole nother Journey podcast. But this is about, we talked a couple, what are you saying? What are you saying? And podcasting is like a box of, podcasting's like a box of chocolates, Jenna. You ever notice, I know nobody here remembers the little claymation Davy and Goliath. You ever notice that Forrest Gump, Jenna, is the same voice almost as Davy?